God is so good to us. I can't imagine that God allows us to serve Him. He is, I mean, we read in Psalm 77 how He is the God that does wonders. He is the God that has done many great things. And just amazing that God is pleased by our worship. It's amazing. God is so good. I hope that you're striving to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind. I hope that the worship that we have today is directing your heart to God, that you just want to praise Him because of the music. If not, I think there's something wrong with your ticker. If you're not to the point where you just want to worship God, there's something wrong with your heart. We need to come. We should be coming here with a desire to worship Him. And to please Him and to just bow our knees. I mean, you know, in the Old Testament, we're not even in the message yet, but in the Old Testament, they would just bow their knees to God because they loved Him and they wanted to serve Him. Not everybody, but, you know, song talks about He's worthy of bowing and bending of knee. Let me ask you, when was the last time you bowed before Christ? When was the last time, just in worship, that you were just, in a sense, you're just awed by His presence, and you bowed down and you worshiped Him? I'm not talking, hopefully you do that as you pray, at times when you know you can't bow down, hopefully you do that throughout the day, but how long has it been since you're just overwhelmed with the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and you just got down on your knees and said, God, I want to love you more. God, I want to live for you more. I want to be more like you today. If you've not done that recently, you're out of touch. You're out of touch with Christ and who He is. Because once you see God, and when Isaiah saw God in all His glory, he bowed down on his hands and knees and worshiped. Whenever anybody was in the presence of God, they bowed down immediately and worshiped. And I think we do that, we should be doing that in our hearts. But we should also be doing that physically. There should be times when we're meditating upon God's word, when we're in prayer, when we're reading God's word, and it just comes to the point where we just have to bow down before Him. Because we're overwhelmed with the presence of His glory and His majesty. And that He would love us. I can't imagine going to church day by day and year by year and not getting to the point where I just wanted to bow down and worship God at some time. You'd probably all think I was crazy if we just said, oh, let's all come down here and just bow down and worship God. Because we don't do that. If we don't do that in our normal everyday life, we're going to think it's strange to do it at church. Because we're not used to bowing ourselves before a mighty God. Philippians chapter 2. Sometimes you're just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. We're going to have to race this morning. Philippians chapter 2. And we're looking at, I don't know if I made a title for this message. We're looking at the chapter, verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I guess the title might be, what type of a mind do you have? Or do you have a Christ-like mind? What type of mind do you have? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God help us. We need your mind. We need to have a mind, the mind of Christ in many things. We need your help. Lord, it's so easy for us to not to have your mind. It's so easy for us not to love you and to want to please you. And Lord, our minds are pulled apart in so many ways today to the world and other things. And our minds are battleground today, Lord. And we need you to help us. We need people that have that think like Christ and have Christ's mind today. Help us, Lord. We need you in Jesus' name. Let this mind be in you. As Christians, we are to imitate Christ Jesus. We are to be like him. That's why we're called Christians, because we are to be like Christ. Paul says here, let this mind be in you. Christ's mind. Christ-like thinking. We are to think like Christ. I'm not supposed to think like... A lot of people want you to think like them. And I'm not trying to be political here, but Donald Trump wants you to think like him. Nancy Pelosi wants you to think like her. You know, there's all types of people that want you to think like them, but there's one person you know that their thinking is right. No matter where you are, politically thinking or anything like that, there's one person whose mind is right, and that's Christ. And Paul says, let this mind be in you. And there's, it carries on here in talking about servant and humility and that, but I thought this morning we would just stop and look at what a Christ-like mind is like on top of this passage. We'll get into the rest of this passage this week. You know, God has given all of you a free will. You can choose to think what you want, but that doesn't mean it's right. Let me ask you, if the majority thinks something, is it right always? Normally, if you're in the majority, it's not right. I wonder, like that sometimes in our church. If we're in the majority, are we always right? If I know that one person that thinks right, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have his word that shows us. God's not going to force you to think right. He'll not magically change your thinking. Now, he will help you through his Holy Spirit when you submit yourself to him. The world is full of people who don't have the mind of Christ. The Bible really says that those who don't think like Christ have a carnal mind. If you don't think like Christ, even if you're a professing Christian and you don't think like Christ, the Bible says you have a carnal mind. Romans 8:7 says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity. That means you're the enemy of God. Evil thinking, wrong thinking. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Paul says in Romans that if we have a carnal mind, we are fighting against God and we're not submitting to him. It's really, what are you going to submit your thinking to? What are you going to submit your thinking to? The carnal mind says, I'm going to think how I want. I'm going to think like the world or whoever I think. You know, there's lots of people out there that want you to follow them, follow their thinking. Diet plans, they want you to follow their thinking. Why do they want you to follow their thinking? Is it just because it's best for you? Normally it's because there's some money behind it for them, you know. Normally if somebody wants you to follow their thinking, there's something in it for them. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says this, for ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So carnal people don't have the mind of Christ. Those who are carnal cause strife and division. We saw that in verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Sorry, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. We've already seen that strife in the carnal mind, the people who don't think like Christ, cause divisions. You know, Titus 3:10 is pretty telling in that. Titus 3:10 tells the church that a person who is causing divisions in the church, Titus 3:10 says this, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. You know what a heretic is? A divisive person. And if you talk to them one or two times and they don't accept it, you reject that person. The church rejects that person if they're being divisive. A heretic is a divisive person. And the church should reject that person if they continue on. And that's caused by a carnal mind. Corinthians says, "For are ye yet carnal, whereas there among you envyings and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men?" Let me ask you, do we want to walk like men? Or do we want to walk like Christ? If we're going to walk like Christ, we have to have Christ's mind in things. We have to think like He thinks. Walk like He walks. Talk like He walks. Because it's so easy to walk like the world. It's easy to think like the world. Let me ask you, what gets pumped into your brain more, the world or the Bible? I think if most of you are honest, you'd say the world gets pumped in there more. If you spend an hour watching TV and you spend a less than an hour in your Bible, then the world's pumped into you more. Some of you spend way more than an hour watching TV. Some of you don't, but some of you do. If you listen to the news, I don't care which news program you listen to. If you listen to the news for an hour, the world's pumping its information into you. And if you listen to the news for an hour and you don't read the Bible for an hour, the world's getting more. And we don't have the mind of Christ because we're not in the Word of God. God is not able to change our minds because the world gets first place. It's just pumping, pumping, pumping. Some of you come to most of the time four services a week. We have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you come to most of them. Very few come to all every week. But if you came to all of them, that's less than 4 hours a week of Bible teaching. Rarely do. Sunday morning is the exception. Sunday morning normally goes longer than an hour, but rarely do our services go a complete hour or, you know, they go a little less. So in preaching and teaching, some of you get an hour a week. Some of you are getting an hour once a month. God ordained preaching to be one of the main ways for our minds to be changed. As Christians, if that's one of the main ways that God has ordained to change our minds, shouldn't we want to do that more? Shouldn't we want to be in the Bible more? Shouldn't we want to be under the preaching more? The reason we don't have the mind of Christ is because there are so many other things filling our minds. So many other things that are taking our thought process. It can just be a book that we read. Some of you might like reading. And you read for pleasure. I read for pleasure now and then. But I find when I read for pleasure, I like old, you know, I like a Lewis L'Amour book now and then. Normally pretty clean, tame, you know, stuff. But you know what I find when I read? I don't read it very often. You know what I find? I just want to keep going, and I want to keep going, and I keep going. And I do that more than I do, you know, it's like, oh, I got to keep going. I got to find out what's going to happen. Let me ask you, do you have the mind of Christ? We're not going to even come close to getting through this message, so don't worry. I'm not going to try and finish it. I don't even got hardly past the introduction yet. If we have a carnal mind, we're not striving to be like-minded with Christ Jesus. If we're not striving to be like-minded, we are working against Him. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. If you have a carnal mind, that's working against the very person that you might say saved you. You know, we can see the proof in our country today. Every day, people are trying to erase the thought of God from the minds and the fabric of our nation. We can see that in our country. People are trying to erase God from the children's minds. They won't let the Bible in the school. They don't want Christian prayer in the school. And they're trying to erase God. They don't want you to have a Christian mind. The battle wages from the left to erase God from the consciousness of our children and to rewrite history and eliminate God from our thoughts. Satan wants to eliminate, Satan does not want you to have a Christ-like mind. He doesn't want that because he knows that will change your life. When you think like Christ, it changes your whole life. This world is doing the exact opposite of Paul's words. The world is, lets Satan, this is what the world says, let Satan's mind be in you. That's what the world is teaching you. Let Satan's mind be in you. Second John 1:7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's the world, Satan-type mind that's trying to deceive your mind into thinking not like Christ. You know, as Americans, we pride ourselves in being independent. But as Christians, we are to be submissive in our thought life. Let this mind be in you. Let Christ's mind be in you. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submit yourselves. Submit your minds to God, to Christ-like thinking. You know, it's going to be a choice. You've got to make that choice. As I said, God's not going to force you to make that choice. If you're going to be obedient as a Christian, you have to make the choice. Let me say, some of you are making that choice right now. You're saying, "I'm not going to." Some people out there are saying, "I'm not going to listen." In a crowd this size, there's somebody saying, "I'm not listening. I'm not going to do what he says." You're not going to. You're going to prove that by you know, the next week, you're still not going to get in the Word of God. You're not going to spend quality time in God's Word. We'll never be like-minded as long as we have a mind of our own. And a mind of ourselves is like verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know, I forgot I was going to bring a mirror up here. But our norm is to walk around each day, and I don't have a mirror with me, so I'll just have to pretend. Our norm is to walk around each day kind of like this with a mirror in front of our face. And we're just looking at our own, you know, we're just like more interested in self than anybody else around us. How often do we walk around like that, just with a mirror? And we're more interested in our own things than the things of others. That's our natural default in life, is to be more worried about ourselves. Let's prove that. You say, "Oh, I don't believe that." Philippians 2:21 says this, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." That's talking about believers, folks. For all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. Our natural default. You know, we have a Wi-Fi extender in our house, and it got unplugged for too long. And it just extends the Wi-Fi signal. And when it got unplugged too long, it wouldn't work. We plugged it back in, and it wouldn't work. It went back to its factory default. And to get it back to work again, I had to go find the manual, get on my computer, follow all the instructions, and input all the information to get it to work the way I wanted it to. And our natural default in life, when we're kind of reset, when we're not having a Christ-like mind, our natural default is to just walk around each day with a mirror, looking at ourselves and looking at our own needs and looking at our own thoughts and just me, me, You know that song? Me, 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 me. I'm not a very good singer, but, you know, that's natural for us. For all seek their own. He says, I have no man, I'm preaching a message to come, but he says, I have no man like-minded like Timothy. So Paul says, I can't find people who think about others more than themselves. I can't find anybody. Timothy's like that. And so I know that if Paul couldn't find people, that it's just natural for us to be the same way. We naturally just think of ourselves first. That's not a Christ-like mind. That's not having the mind of Christ. Our mind needs to be transformed. Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. The word transform there is the word for metamorphosis. It's like a, how many of you, all you kids studied in school how a butterfly, a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, right? He goes in to his cocoon as one thing, and he comes out looking completely different. And that's what a Christ-like mind does to us. We go into the Word of God, into the cocoon of the Word of God, and we dig deep. We spend a lot of time there changing and becoming Christ-like, and we come out and we've saturated ourselves in the Word of God, and we're something completely different. Because we have a Christ-like mind now. Let this mind be in you. Let me ask you, which mind do you have? What are you filling it with? What are you filling your mind with? How much time do you spend in God's Word? If anybody ever wants a list of some good preachers to go listen to, if you want to listen to some good preachers, I have preachers that I go listen to. A lot of times on my day off, if I'm just doing something out in the garage or something, I'll spend hours just listening to other preachers. Why? Because I want my mind transformed. I want to be more like Christ. I was telling somebody, I think it was Ronnie, when we were in the hospital. Good to see you, Ron. Glad that you could be here today. Praise the Lord that he's out of the hospital. Went in Thursday and he's back. Praise the Lord. I was telling him one Saturday night I was kind of having problems studying. So I decided, well, I'm just going to go fishing. I took my message that I had ready and prepared, but I didn't like. And I went out to the Delphus Reservoir and I just threw the line out and sat there fishing. And since we were preaching through Philippians, I have that memorized. And I sat there for a couple hours and just meditated on that passage. I preached the message that came from that meditation, not the message I had prepared. Because as I meditated on God's Word and chose, you see, you can do it anywhere. You can meditate on God's Word at work. A lot of times I meditate on God's Word on my pillow before I fall asleep at night. I start in Genesis and I just try and work as far as I can through the Bible, thinking of all that God did. Folks, we can't get God's mind from 1 hour on Sunday. Or 1 hour once a month, or 15 minutes in our daily crumb. Some people, that's the only devotion they get. They pick up a daily devotional thing. I call it the daily crumb. Somebody else, I got that from somebody else. But that's not enough to have the mind of Christ, to spend those few minutes in the Bible. There are so many things that give us, that show us the mind of Christ, and I'm just now to the meat of the message. It's only 12 o'clock. I could probably go on till 1, but I won't. Let me just quickly give you highlights. When we think of what type of mind we have, what type of things show that love, that mind, show the type of mind we have. Well, we love God and we love others. Luke 10:27. Thus shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. If we're going to have a Christ-like mind, it's going to be shown by loving God and loving others. It's all good, also going to be shown by loving your enemies, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, if we have the mind of Christ, we're going to love even those people that we think are our enemies. It's sad that many Christians, if they get offended, they act like a worldly person. They ignore people. They won't talk to them. Definitely not the mind of Christ. Definitely not the mind of Christ. What does the Bible say? Pray for them. Pray for you daily. Pray for you daily. The problem is too many Christians going around with Satan's mind. I've been in enough different churches, the ones that I didn't pastor, to know that it's kind of the norm. Let me ask you a question. How long are you going to let Satan have control of your thinking? Let's be quiet. How long are you going to let Satan have control of your thinking? We'll also strive to reach others with the gospel if we have Christ-like thinking. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. If we have Christ-like thinking, we're going to reach the lost. We're going to beg God to give us opportunities to witness. And we're not going to look at those walled cities like we looked at and those giants like we looked at in Sunday school stop them. Stop us. We're not going to let unbelief stop us. We're going to have a love for the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also, what? Loved the church. Let me ask you, do you love the church and how do you show that? Practically, how do you show that you love what Christ loved? If you have a Christ-like mind, you're going to love the church, this church. And how do you show that? You want to spend, you know, you want to spend time. I've said this before, but when I first met my wife, it didn't take very long before I'm pretty sure I loved her. And guess what I wanted to do? Every chance I got, I wanted to spend time with her. Every chance I got. Her dad wouldn't let me spend as much time as I wanted to. Her dad said, you have to have her home by 11 or 10? 10? 10 o'clock, I thought so. 10 o'clock. I had to have her home by 10 o'clock. Nothing good ever happens after 10 o'clock, he'd say. Nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. Be home by 10. Not a bad thing. You support what you love. You attend what you love. You sacrifice for what you love. You know, a real sacrifice costs you something. How many have sacrificed something for the church? Christ loved the church and he did what? He gave himself. He sacrificed himself for us. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Christ loved us. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You join the thing that you love. You join what you love. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them, the church, about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you love the church and you want what's best for it, you'll join so that you can be even more useful in the ministry. Do you have the mind of Christ? You're excited about being at church. Let me ask you a question. We won't go too much longer. Let me ask you a question. Maybe. I hope not. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have gone to some type of a show, maybe a... Some of you go to like something like the Amish Country Theater or kids' game or something. You're there. How many of you show up a half hour late to the kids' game? Some of you might have to because of work. But most of the time you're there early. And you have your seat, your things put down on your seat. If you go to the Amish Country Theater, if you ever do something like that, people are trying to get to the front row. Why? They don't want to miss anything. They don't want somebody's head in their way. What do Christians do in churches? We don't want to be up front. What does that tell of our hearts? When at church we want to be in the back, and at other things we want to be in the front. What does that say about what we love in our heart? What does it say when we won't be late to our kids' game, but we're late every time to church? What does that show? I'll let you answer that. I don't think it's the mind of Christ, though. I don't think it's the mind of Christ. See, the things that we love, we make sure we get the best seat. It sends a message. We had at our home church that sent us out in Charlotte, Michigan, the youth pastor got all the teens to sit in the second row. They always sat in the second row. It sends a message sitting in the second row. I don't want to miss anything. I want to hear everything. So those of you who can't hear, right here. I don't want to miss anything. Sends a message. I want to get the best. I want to show my support. Sitting in the back also sends a message. I know the Ravels sit back there because Jim does the sound system. I know that. I know Harriet has her walker a lot of times and she sits there because it's easier to put her walker there. I know that. What do you think visitors, what if you're sending a message to, we have visitors today. You have a special privilege, I'm speaking about visitors. If we have visitors today, and I could ask you this later, what would you think if you went into a church and the front three rows were all filled and the back was empty? Do you think that'd send a message to the people that came? I think that'd send, be like, we're missing something. And at the other churches, they sit in the back. This church, they all want to be in the front. Do you have the mind of Christ? What's controlling, who's controlling your thinking? Do you think like Jesus Christ? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you looking unto Jesus? continues on, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you looking unto Jesus to change your thinking and to change your mind? Or has the world got complete sway? Or does it got have most of the sway? Lord, help us today, because we need your help to change, to be more like Christ. Lord, we need your mind. Father, so many times we allow other things to have first place in our thinking. That shows in our lives, Lord, that we don't put you first. We don't put you first in worship, because there's always something else that's more important than church. Bed is warmer on Sunday morning than getting out and getting to church. We stay up too late and we can't wake up because those things on Saturday night were more important than being at church on time. Lord, convict us of our sin. Oh Lord, how I pray that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would change our thinking, Lord. I call out to you and ask that you would convict us of our sin. Change us, Lord. I pray for confession this morning of sin. I pray for hearts to be open and changed. I pray that hearts would not say no to your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would have free reign in the hearts and the lives of the people this morning. Well, we praise you, God, because we know that you are the God that does wonders. And you can do a great and mighty work, Lord. You can tear down barriers that are here. Lord, work in hearts and lives. I pray, as we had this invitation, that the confessions would be made, that we want your mind. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.